Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for doing this interview with us. We're honored. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Donc, juste pour dire que Wigofunk, c'est un honneur et un plaisir de vous avoir ici. Ça nous rend très, très heureux. C'est excellent pour nous. Donc, on va commencer les questions. Et la première question sur le mot diva, la définition de diva. So, the first line of questioning is about the word diva and the meaning of the word diva. You've always both been described as divas, the original funky divas. We'd like to know, do you feel like a diva? And what's your definition of diva? Donc, on voudrait savoir ce que c'est votre définition de diva. Est-ce que vous vous sentez comme des divas?
Well, yes, believe it or not, I do feel like a diva. But only when I'm on stage. I feel that way because a diva is considered one who is best at her craft, at doing what she does. And as far as funk is concerned, I feel that I'm the best, and I'm sure that Martha High over here feels that she's the best because we all have our own unique blend to bring to funk, and our bass is funk, so we're funky divas.
Oui, je me sens comme un diva, mais uniquement sur scène, parce qu'un diva, c'est ce qu'on dit, c'est le meilleur sur le métier. Et moi, je me considère que je suis la meilleure dans le métier de funk, et que chaque personne ramène son propre mélange au métier auquel il est talentueux. Et moi, je me sens très talentueux dans le métier du funk. Maintenant, la même question à Martha.
The same question to Martha.
Well, I don't really have that much to add, but I agree with Lynn, my sister Lynn, and I think that diva also have her own thing about what she does. You know, that everyone has to have a unique sound or different things. So I feel that we have different feels about the way that we sing, and it's from the soul too. You know, and divas are just one that can handle their own.
J'ai pas grand chose à rajouter sur ce qu'a dit Lynn, mais moi aussi je pense qu'un diva c'est quelqu'un qui a quelque chose d'unique, et nous on croit qu'on est unique dans notre genre, et que aussi il faut dire que les divas c'est les femmes qui assument et nous on assume. Donc maintenant certaines stars sont considérées comme des divas, mais d'une manière plus péjorative. Donc je voudrais vous poser la question sur ce genre de diva de nos jours. Certain stars nowadays are described as divas, but in a pejorative way, in a different way. Divas can be described as women or stars who are very demanding, who are very precocious, who are very cheeky, who want a lot of things. What do you think of this kind of new definition of diva? Qu'est-ce que vous pensez de la nouvelle définition de diva? C'est quelqu'un qui est exigeante, quelqu'un qui est un peu lourd, des stars qui exigent énormément de choses.
I know the type of diva that you're asking me about. I've seen that type of diva. Everyone uses diva now based on what they feel, you know, that someone should feel about them, okay? And just as we are using funky divas at this time, because we are funky divas, I don't feel that a diva has to be demanding. I believe when you're good at what you do, and you take care of your business, and you project yourself in a business way, then the person that you are, people that you are dealing with, will perceive you as a diva, a person who takes care of her business and also delivers what is expected of her to deliver.
Moi, j'essaie de ce genre de diva dont vous décrivez, et moi personnellement, je suis pas de l'opinion qu'un diva doit être quelqu'un d'exigeante, quelqu'un de lourde. Et moi, je pense que si tu sais t'occuper de toi-même et de tes affaires, tu n'as pas besoin d'exiger, parce que le fait que tu sois un vrai diva, quelqu'un avec du talent, tu n'as pas besoin d'aller au-delà de ça. Et ce genre de personnes-là, c'est des gens qui sont pas capables d'assumer leur talent ou leur rôle.
I also think that we became divas, especially from our background, a long time ago. You know, both of us worked with James Brown. James Brown has been a very particular person about how he performs, how he looks on stage. You know, and he was very demanding as far as like rehearsals and everything like that. And this is something that's embedded in us. you know, as divas. You know, we are very particular about how we sound, how we look, how the show goes on and everything like that. So I think that all has to do with divas too, and being particular about the show and how we perform. Mm-hmm.
Martha dit en fait que ça fait longtemps qu'elles sont des divas, mais des vraies divas dans le sens où parce qu'elles ont travaillé avec James Brown, tu peux pas rater, il faut être parfait, il faut être perfectionniste sur scène, il faut être particulier, méticuleux. Et quand vous avez travaillé avec quelqu'un comme ça, vous pouvez dire que vous êtes un vrai diva parce que jamais vous ratez quelque chose. Et ça, c'est quelque chose qui est imbriqué dans leur culture musicale et dans leur façon d'être. Parce que avec ce genre de personnes, vous pouvez rien laisser passer. Donc ça veut dire que la façon dans laquelle elles sont des divas, c'est des vraies divas, pas des divas exigeantes, etc. Who are the new divas for you in 2005? Who is a diva in your way that you define a diva? Somebody who has talent, somebody who can assume her own, somebody who, you know, can take care of her own business, somebody who's got real heart and soul. Who, for you, are the divas of 2005 or in recent times? Et maintenant, qui sont les vraies divas pour vous? Qui sont les divas qui assument, comme Lynn a dit tout à l'heure, qui s'occupent d'elles-mêmes, qui sont des vraies femmes talentueuses, des chanteuses excellentes? Qui sont les divas des temps modernes ou des divas de 2005?
Okay, that's a very hard question to answer, but two people come to mind at this point. I don't know what they are doing inside their camp, but what they project to the public. And one of them is Beyoncé. Another is, I think, Christina Aguilera. Because she's got her voice is magnificent to me. I'm just going to name those two right now. I could go on and on and on, but yeah. And I still feel that Janet Jackson as well is a diva.
Pauline, les divas modernes de nos jours, c'est Beyoncé. Elle dit que c'est pas ce qui se passe avec le management, le business, mais pour elle, Beyoncé, c'est une vraie diva. Aussi Christina Aguilera, parce qu'elle a dit qu'elle a une voix absolument sublime, une voix qu'on ne peut pas décrire tellement c'est excellente. Et quand même qu'elle pense aussi à Janet Jackson, une ancienne nouvelle diva, on peut dire.
Well, I agree with Lynn. There's so many, but I really have admiration for Missy Elliott. Because she's doing a lot of producing. She's out there with some of the best, and she's doing a lot of stuff, you know. Also, Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah, you know what I mean? The girlfriend is on. She's definitely on. She's doing her own thing, had her own TV show. And another young lady, Jill Scott. Jill Scott, yeah. Yeah, Jill Scott. I admire her because she's although she's basically new in the business, not really, but new in the business, and she's taken control, just as her song says, she's living her life like it's golden. And she's taken control, and I my hat's off to her, and I wish her the best. As a matter of fact, I wish them all the best, but, I mean, the other girls got it going on. You know, more power. Divas.
Martha, elle pense que Missy Elliott, c'est une vraie diva parce que c'est une femme exceptionnelle qui a beaucoup de talent, qui produit des artistes. Également, Queen Latifah, qu'on connaît tous l'époque, grande époque de rap aussi, maintenant qui s'est convertie à la télévision, que son émission de télévision, c'est une diva. Et un peu plus récent, Jill Scott, qui dit que c'est quelqu'un qui assume énormément, qui s'occupe de ses affaires. Et elle a dit, voilà, ça c'est une nouvelle femme. Et puis elle continue le rôle des femmes fortes dans la société de la musique. Et plus de pouvoir aux femmes, et vas-y, vive les divas, elle a dit. Talking of a diva, which is obviously a divine term from the word goddess in Latin, we want to talk a little bit about religion. If that doesn't bother you, about religion and maybe your roots, maybe from church, from where you came from both religious states. Obviously, you know, gospel and singing is extremely important in those communities. And you've also been described as the female preacher, of course, your definition. And I would like to ask, first of all, what do you think of this definition of the female preacher, and what does that mean to you? Where did it come from? How do you think it was created? And for both of you, what part has God and the way where you came from played in your life, the way you sing? How has that religious education, if you had it, how has it influenced the way you sing and the way you think and the way you are as a person?
You're very deep, very deep. Okay. You ask me a lot in just a little bit, but okay. Okay, as far as the female preacher is concerned, the female preacher, that name was given me when I wrote and recorded Think About It. And the reason why it was given to me was the basically the way I delivered the song to the people. It's like it goes from that church, that gospel background. As far as, you know, some people say I was the first female rapper. I've heard that while I was on this tour, because of the way that I was talking and singing a little bit in the beginning of that song. And then from doing that song that way, instead of just talking, but really having a rhythmic, a gospel rhythmic thing to it, based on my gospel background, this is why they started calling me the female preacher. If I'm not mistaken, I think James Brown gave me that name. Yes. She's preaching. You know? As far as my background is concerned in gospel, I am an only child. And growing up, I stayed home a lot while my mom worked. And I felt something inside. It was a loneliness, not having any sisters or brothers. And I got interested in church. Of course, as from the age of 5 was the first time I sang in church that I can remember. On my own. Yeah. And that was my grandmother's doing. She told me that I could sing, so therefore, I decided if Big Mama says I can sing, I can sing. So I got up and sung one Sunday morning at 5 years old. But it all, in doing that and in my religious training and studying and, you know, Sunday school and stuff as a child, it taught me that the things that I was feeling inside, to me, the way that I could actually get that from the inside of me out to express it to people where I could not express it in my words was through my soul, through my inner self. In singing, I could do that. If I was sad, if I was happy, whatever I was, I could express it through gospel music. And also in learning about faith and blessings and all, you know, everything that goes with being a Christian, you know. I was able to express myself through that way. And I think around age 10 or 11, I started singing in a gospel group. We put it together. It was 3 girls and 1 guy. It was called the Mount Zion Echoes. Yeah. And we traveled over the state of Texas. And I think we made a couple of trips to New Mexico. Singing with gospel concerts. And there were times we were so excited that we were opening for the 5 blind boys. That gospel group. Yeah, at that age. So, you know, it really gives you a feeling where you can express all of that and know that what is said, you know, in our Christian studies, what has been said to us can be fulfilled by song, by talking. It's our way of communicating. You can communicate with anyone, anywhere, in any language, just by the feeling of the notes and how they see you perceive, you know, giving them that message through the note. Yeah.
Lina dit qu'en fait, elle était, l'église était très importante pour elle dans son éducation, donc de chanteuse, mais son éducation tout court. Qu'en fait, elle était une enfant unique, donc elle se trouvait à la maison énormément toute seule. Et c'est à partir de cette solitude-là qu'elle a eu ce besoin de chanter. Et que tout le monde dans sa famille allait à l'église, donc c'était normal. Et qu'à 5 ans, elle a chanté pour la première fois tout seule à l'église. Et c'était grâce ou à cause de sa grand-mère, Big Mama, comme elle a dit. Et que sa grand-mère lui a dit que tu peux chanter. Donc à partir du moment où sa grand-mère a dit ça, qu'elle respectait énormément, elle y croyait. Et elle a dit que c'était sa façon de s'exprimer de l'intérieur. C'est que c'était sa façon de s'assumer en tant qu'enfant et de femme. Et comme elle a pu s'exprimer par le chant. Et que tout ça, le Sunday School, c'est l'école du dimanche, ça lui a donné beaucoup de confiance en elle et que c'était sa seule façon de vraiment pouvoir s'exprimer parce que c'était un enfant assez seul. Elle a dit que après, vers 10-11 ans, elle a fait une tournée avec un groupe qui s'appelait le Mount Zion Echoes, qui était un groupe de gospel. Ils ont fait une tournée partout en Texas et même des fois au Mexico. Et que, à 10-11 ans de faire ça, ça donne énormément de confiance, et qu'ils avaient même soutenu un groupe très célèbre de gospel qui s'appelle The Five Blind Boys, et qu'à 10-11 ans de soutenir un groupe, déjà, c'était énorme. Et que, en fait, ses rêves de gospel, et sa façon de s'exprimer au gospel, c'est une manière de communiquer avec n'importe quelle personne au monde, dans n'importe quelle langue. T'as pas besoin de comprendre la langue, c'est quelque chose de l'intérieur. Et que pour elle, ça a été énorme dans sa façon de se construire, même avec la foi, tout ce qui est la foi, tout ce qui est la bénédiction, et tout ça, c'était très important pour elle, elle est toujours croyante. Et le terme de female preacher, elle pense que c'était James Brown qui lui a donné le nom, et qu'il a dit, wow, female preacher, get up! Tu vois, que en fait, elle se sentait pas forcément comme une prêcheuse, mais c'est qu'elle, on lui a donné ce nom, après Think About It. Donc après cette chanson-là, il lui a nommé The Female Preacher et que ça a collé depuis. Voilà, donc c'est quelqu'un qui est toujours croyante et très religieuse. Et donc la même question pour Martha. So Martha, the same question for you.
Okay, could you repeat the question?
The question is about how, you know, did church, how did religion influence the way you are and the way you sing, and how important was it to have that kind of background, and you know, what has it given to you in the way you sing and the way you express yourself?
All right, the gospel has been a big part of my life because my mom and my dad, I would say that they're Christian people, and as long as I can remember, we would always have to go to church on Sundays and everything. And
were you forced to go? Did you want to go?
No. Was never forced. Yeah, it was just a natural thing. I had three older brothers, and I never heard them complain about going to church and everything like that. Of course, sometimes they would try to get out of it, but it was just a normal thing for the family to go to church on Sundays and everything. And then, as I got older, probably around 10 or 11, around the age of 10 and 11, that's when I started singing with the choir in church, which was in Washington, D.C., where I was living in Washington, D.C. at that time. And I would watch, you know, being in a Baptist church, you would see a lot of people, you know, they sing. We did a lot of singing and everything, and people would get up and shout. And they would sing, and I was just always amazed of, you know, like, my goodness, you know, this music is making everybody jump up, and yeah, you know, and I was always fascinated, you know. Then when I started singing with the choir and the words to the songs and everything, I didn't quite understand it at that time. As I got older, I understood the words and how the words had such meaning, you know, to life and everyday life and people, you know, how they related to and everything. And I began to feel the same thing. And just the joy that I would get out of singing gospel was just amazing to me. It just made me feel great inside. Then, traveling on the road and coming back home and, going to church, and then, my preacher, the pastor would ask me to sing solos in church and everything, you know, and I was like, okay, this is great. I get a chance to sing gospel, you know, on my own. And the feeling to sing gospel is just, it's just totally amazing. It is the most ultimate feeling I've ever had. The feeling, I don't know, it's just something that you can't explain. I also feel the same way with my music now that I'm doing solo, you know. A lot of times I can relate certain songs, just like a song that I sing, I'd Rather Go Blind. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure it's about a man. It was sang by Etta James. I'm sure that she was singing about a man, but when I sing the song, I relate it to God, to Jesus, because I would rather be blind than to have him, not have him in my life. Yeah, because I think that the reason why I am here today and this tour, along with my sister Lynn, the reason why we're together, because this is something, this is a dream that we had. And I think that prayer changes things. I think as long as you continue to pray and ask for what you want and believe and keep the faith, that these things will happen. I don't think anything in my life can happen without his blessings, you know, or to depend on your faith and everything, you know. So gospel has played a big part of my life. Yes, faith, and yes, major part. You know, I just, like I said, I just feel like I'm blessed with everything that I do. Even now, being here with all of you, you know, it's a blessing. Because, yeah, and you know, from the fans, you know, just being interested and you know, enough to be able to come to the show and listen to the songs, continue to listen to the songs through the years. I had a CD out, not a CD, but an album at that time in 1979, which didn't really do that well. But then every once in a while, playing at different shows and auditoriums and things like that, during the time with James Brown and with Maceo Parker, and of course even on our tour, people have come up with my album to say, well, okay, I want you to sign this, you know. I was like, oh wow, okay, this is cool. Yeah, you know, that's really cool, and that is a blessing. That is a blessing, you know. So and there's a couple of songs that Lynn and I sing on the stage that's, you know, that's very, very touching to us, because we just know how blessed we are to be here, to be at this point of our lives, you know.
Give me a hallelujah, come on. So, Martha, elle a dit que la religion et Dieu est très grande partie de sa vie, que ses parents étaient très religieux. Elle est chrétienne, elle y croit à fond, et qu'elle voulait aller à l'église quand elle était petite. Elle avait trois grandes frères aussi qui allaient, et c'était pas forcé, elle voulait vraiment y aller, pas comme les enfants qui des fois ne veulent pas y aller. Donc elle est allée, elle a commencé à chanter à Washington DC, où elle vivait à l'époque, et qu'elle était partie d'une église baptiste, et quand elle entendait les gens crier dans l'église, claquer dans les mains, c'était une énorme joie pour elle. Elle était fascinée, absolument bouche bée, ce que cette musique et la religion pouvaient porter aux gens. Et que c'était seulement plus tard, quand elle était 11, 12 ans, qu'elle a compris le sens des paroles. Elle a compris ce que ça voulait dire, les paroles des chansons. Et là, c'était une espèce de feeling, une espèce de sensation qu'elle avait partout dans le corps que, ah, je comprends. Et quand elle chante le gospel, et quand elle a chanté le gospel en solo aussi, elle dit que c'est la sensation ultime qu'elle a jamais eue dans sa vie. Elle n'y a rien à côté. Et que c'est vraiment un super bon feeling. Et aussi, elle a chanté une chanson qui s'appelle I'd Rather Go Blind, je préfère être aveugle, qui était chantée par Etta James. Et elle dit qu'elle pense que Etta chantée par un homme. Mais quand elle chante cette chanson, elle le chante, elle pense au Dieu. Parce qu'elle préfère être aveugle que de perdre Dieu dans sa vie. Donc Dieu, c'est Jésus, et Dieu, c'est ça compte la même pour elle. Et même là, maintenant, elle est là avec nous, avec des jeunes gens qui s'intéressent à elle. Elle pense que c'est une bénédiction de Dieu. Le fait qu'elle fait la tournée avec sa sœur Lynn, elle dit que c'est une bénédiction, et que elle pense que la prière change des choses. Elle pense que la vie est une bénédiction totale, surtout maintenant, parce qu'elles sont toujours là à leur âge, et toujours en train de chanter. Et que des fois sur scène, elles chantent des chansons tellement touchantes que elles, ça atteint le même niveau que être près de Dieu, être à côté de Dieu. Donc oui, la religion est une grande partie de la vie. Oui, elles sont croyantes. Oh, oui, elles disent Hallelujah. Voilà. Now talking of sisterhood, and on parle de sœurs, etc. First of all, I want to ask you about being women, in the, you know, before and being women now in this modern time. What's the best advice you could give a woman nowadays? What's your best advice, both of you? Shall I start with you this time, Martha? Yeah. Donc, quel est le, on parle d'être femme parce qu'elle peut beaucoup d'être sœur, etc. Quel est le meilleur conseil qu'elle peut donner à une femme? So, what's the best advice you could give to a woman?
Well, the best advice that I can give is be true to yourself first. Definitely be true to yourself. And being honest and knowing, you know, I think that you should set goals and, you know, try to work to your towards your goals and everything. You know, I don't think we should be too quick in making decisions about... Yeah. Absolutely. Think about it. you know, because nowadays you find that because I can relate to years ago. You know, things are not like they used to be. I think things are pretty hard now for women and everything. You know, so I think that you should really take your time and make decisions definitely, most definitely, as far as your health and everything is concerned, you know, because there's a lot of things going on that's not like it was in the past years and everything. Yeah. And most definitely education, of course, you know, I think that all women these days should definitely think about education. You know, let's not forget that that's still a very important part of your life, you know. Yes. And also, as far as skills are concerned, I think that everyone should have some type of skill that, you know, you can make your own money, be your own woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I translate that sure. Martha a dit le meilleur conseil qu'elle peut donner, c'est be true to yourself, donc sois honnête, sois vrai avec toi-même, et qu'il faut fixer les buts dans la vie, il faut fixer les buts, et aussi il faut vraiment réfléchir avant de prendre une décision. Donc les femmes, maintenant on peut et on devrait réfléchir et prendre son temps avant de s'engager dans n'importe quoi. Donc je disais think about it, je disais vraiment réfléchir quoi. Également, il faut s'occuper de sa santé parce qu'il y a beaucoup de maladies et malheureusement à l'époque c'était pas pareil. Et maintenant, il faut vraiment se prendre soin de soi et faire attention avec qui on est. Et que surtout l'éducation, soit obtient des compétences, soit éduquée pour que tu puisses survivre toute seule comme femme, avoir quelque chose derrière soi pour pouvoir vraiment survivre dans ce monde seule et s'assumer. Voilà.
Same question.
Okay, you're asking me the same question, and believe it or not, my sister here has, I think she's put everything on the table as far as, from A to Z, what a woman should be. Back in the day, we should have been that way. And now, even more so, because the world is moving so much faster, you know? It's so much faster. And not only is it something, a woman has to find her place in life. She has to find her place in life. Exactly. So many choices. And it's on a fast track, a very, very fast track. There's not much time to make up your mind about something if you don't have it in your gut what you're really about, if, you know. So you have to make decisions and be firm about your decisions. Know what you want in life. Know what you want to do as far as business, taking care of yourself, a type of job, a career. Know that that's what you really, really want. Because there comes a time during your life, and there will come several times, when the way this world is now, that what your career is or what line of business you have studied for can be eliminated. It can be eliminated. I'm saying this because my son is a paralegal in Houston, Texas. There are so many attorneys coming out of universities. Okay? These same attorneys that have put in all this time to go to school and owe all these loans and everything are now taking jobs that my son qualifies for. He's not an attorney. He's a paralegal. But the paralegals are taking those jobs because they can't find jobs. You know, and that type of thing. That's why I say you have to be prepared. See where the flow is going and move with that flow to go someplace else. You know, you've got to have another plan. We all grow up wanting to have that husband and that child and that one career, and things change. Things change, and we've got to know how to move with it. You know, we really have to know. I mean, I found that out recently. There are certain things in my life that have happened, and I've had to sit back and say, Lynn, you're telling everyone else to think about it? I think you better sit down here and go back over your life and think about what you really want to do. And when I sit down and I thought about that, and my sister and I got together, we are spiritual sisters. And we have been that way since the first year we were together. And I've known her since the first month that I was on the James Brown Show. You notice I'm not giving any dates. We were such wee children with a little knowledge. Just a little. Now we got a lot.
Lynn a dit que, il faut, que Martha avait, a tout dit ce qu'elle voulait dire, mais c'est que une femme, il faut vraiment savoir qui on est.